Miss Lee, I have a world to speak about your cousin's place in Shropshire, where I've been to see his work. Our work. You heard I went. You'll like to hear that your last book lies in the schoolroom, judged innocuous for the girls who still care for books. We all must read, you see, before we live, till slowly the ineffable light comes up, and as it deepens, drowns the written word. So said your cousin while we stood, and then felt a sunset from his favorite beech tree seat. I think he looks well now, has quite got over that unfortunate creature. Ah, I know it moved you, tender heart. You took a liking to the wretched girl. Perhaps you thought the marriage suitable. A poet hankers for romance, and so on. As for Romney, it's sure he never loved her. Never. By the way, you have not heard from her. Quite out of sight? Lost in every sense?
One evening, as I sat alone on the terrace of my tower, a book upon my knee to counterfeit reading, the heavens were making room to hold the night. The sevenfold heavens unfolding all their gates to let the stars out slowly. Gradually, the purple and transparent shadows had filled up the whole valley to the brim and flooded all the city. A drowned city in some enchanted sea, cut off from nature, drawing those who gaze with passionate desire to leap and plunge and find a sea king with a voice of waves and treacherous soft eyes and slippery locks you cannot kiss, but you shall bring away his salt upon your lips. The Duomo bells strike 10. Methinks I have plunged. I see it all so clear. I felt him rather than beheld him. And oh, my heart, my sea king, in my ears the sound of waters. Up I rose as if he were my king indeed. Have you brought Lady Waldemar with you?
I brought a letter from her.
Aurora Lee, I prayed your cousin take you this. He says he'll do it. After years of love, or what is called so, when a woman frets and fools upon one string of a man's name and fingers it forever till it breaks, he may perhaps do for her such a thing, and she accept it without detriment, although she does not love him anymore, nor you. I do not love you, Muse, who shall repent your most ungracious letter. You've wronged me foully. Are you made so ill, you, woman, to impute such ill to me? We both had mothers, lay in their bosoms once. And, after all, I thank you, Aurora, for proving to me that there are things I would not do, not for my life, nor for him. Though some things I have somewhat overdone. For instance, when I went to see a goddess one morning on Olympus with a step that shook the thunder from a certain cloud, committing myself vilely. Could I think the muse I pulled my heart out from my breast to soften had herself a sort of heart and loved my mortal? He at least loved her. I heard him say so. It was my recompense when watching by his bedside for 14 days.
Is it thou? Breathe closer, sweetest mouth.
And then, when he was able,
I have loved her well.
Although she could not love me.
Say instead, I answered, she does love you.
No, she loves me not. Aurora does better. Bring her book and read it softly.
So I read your book, Aurora. For an hour that day, I kept its pauses and marked its emphasis, my voice impaled upon its hooks of rhyme. I read on, calmly. Calmly shut it up, observing. There's some merit in the book, and yet the merit in it is thrown away as chances still with women if we write or write not. Goodbye, Mr. Lee. You'll find another reader next time. A woman who does better than to love, I hate. She will do nothing very well. Male poets are preferable, tiring less and teaching more. I triumphed over both of you and left.